Let us come together in a time of sharing of Scripture. And our Old Testament lesson is selected verses from the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. It is selections from the end of the Samson cycle in the book. Once Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute and went into her. After this, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sarek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Coax him and find out what makes his strength so great and how we may overpower him, so that we may bind him in order to subdue him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes your strength so great and how you can be bound so that one could subdue you." Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times now and have not told me what makes your strength so great." Finally, after she had nagged him with her words day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. So he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. I would become weak and be like anyone else." When Delilah realized he had told her his whole mind, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines. She let him fall asleep on her lap, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. He began to weaken, and his strength left him. Then she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." When he woke from his sleep, he thought, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. So the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow after it had been shaved. At a celebration, the Philistines called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. They made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "Lord God, remember me and strengthen me only this once, O God, so that with this one act of revenge, I may pay back the Philistines for my 2 eyes." And Samson grasped the 2 middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one, and his left on the other. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." He strained with all his might, and the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 23rd chapter of Luke, a short portion of Luke's passion narrative of detailing Christ's time on the cross. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God and his chosen one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I continue today a series of sermons on some of the Bible's dumbest people. Today I'm looking at Samson, who is definitely a reminder that muscles without a mind are really no good. Without a mind, a person is left with little when strength begins to fade. And without a developed spirit and values, there's no value, there's no guidance on how one should use their strength or their power. In the end, Samson, before whom armies trembled, was defeated because he not only fought with the jawbone of an ass, but he also thought with the brain of one. So here's a lesson. We can have all kinds of advantages at our side, all kinds of power, be it muscle power or financial power or the power of status. But if we do not know how to use that well, we are still at a disadvantage. And so it was with Samson. From birth, his life had been consecrated to God. He was a Nazarite. He was set apart from birth, dedicated to the service of the Lord. He was to live so that God could use him. And God did. There's no denying that, often despite Samson rather than because of him. And alas, Samson began to wander spiritually and lose his guidance. In order perhaps to escape boredom, or maybe to ease a lack of attention from others, whatever, Samson became outwardly focused on demonstrating his strengths to others and was inwardly narcissistic. He began to visit among the Philistines, first in the town of Timnah. Now, he knew the Philistines were sworn enemies of the people of Israel. They raided the towns, they oppressed the people. And he knew that visiting Philistia should have been out of bounds. Yet there he was, chilling with the people of a competing national power. I'd ask why Samson would do that. Maybe he was so self-confident of his celebrity status that he felt he could do anything he wanted. Perhaps he chafed at the restrictions of being a Nazarite, of always trying to follow the guidance from the Lord. Perhaps he just carried adolescent rebellion a bit further because no one could stop him. And maybe he just parked his brain at his parents' house before going down to Timnah. And he went down to Timnah. So here's another lesson for us. When we go places we ought not to go, be it physically or spiritually or ethically, we go down. When we forsake our upbringing and disregard the people who care about us, we go down. When we think we are strong enough, mature enough, experienced enough to handle by ourselves whatever the Philistine territory offers us, we go down. And Samson went down to Timnah. He had to subdue a lion and vanquish his opponents. He then became involved in a marriage that broke his parents' heart. He got into a wager that then cost his wife's loyalty, and became involved in an act of revenge that killed 30 innocent men. Samson, somewhere along the way, forgot that he had been saved to a different kind of life. Samson forgot that he was to watch out first for the people of Israel, not first to his own ego. Samson forgot that as restrictive as a life with God can seem or might seem at times, there is nothing but trouble if you go down into the Philistine territory. Nothing but trouble if someone else's spouse looks greener than mine. Nothing but trouble if I believe that one more drink won't hurt. Nothing but trouble if I believe that by the strength of my arms or the size of my bank account or the number of followers on Twitter, and that allows me to grab whomever I want and do whatever I want. Recent psychological and sociological studies have shown that people who are wealthy and privileged, kind of our modern-day equivalent to simply being stronger than others, are actually more likely to cheat or assume that rules do not apply to them. Now, Samson thought he handled all the challenges with his brawn. But the brains of the Philistines thought, here's an enemy we need to keep an eye on. They noted his strength and his weaknesses, particularly his weakness for a certain Philistine maiden called Delilah. While Samson flexed, the Philistines came up with Operation Seduction. Lure him on, find the secret of the strength, and we'll pay you well. So one night, when the fire was low, the air was cooling, but Samson was heating up, Delilah threw him her curves and said, "Oh, Sammy, you know I don't mean to pry, but however did you get so strong?" Now, Samson wasn't totally without thought at this point, so he said, "Bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings." He slept, she bound. The Philistines rushed in. Samson snapped the bowstrings and then snapped the Philistines. A little bit later, Delilah tried again. Samson gave her another false story about binding him with fresh ropes. She bound, called the Philistines, and the results were the same. A little bit later, Delilah tried guilt. "Why did you lie to me?" And Samson gave her the story about weaving his hair into a loom, but the rest of the story remained the same. I want to pause here a moment. And let's consider Samson's ability to think well. There was a clear-cut scenario. He'd tell, she'd try, Philistines would come. Once might be a coincidence. But 3 times? You might wonder why Samson kept on playing the game. Now, I think he was clearly suffering what can only be called male pattern testosterone poisoning. So here's another lesson for us. Whenever we lust so strongly for something that it blinds us to all else, we are dumb. It could be lust for a man, lust for a woman, lust for a business profit, lust for some other type of advantage. What blinds us to other things makes us dumb. We do dumb things and set dumb priorities. And with Delilah, we know what Samson's priorities were. After days of pouting and celibacy, Samson gave in, told Delilah about cutting his hair, violating a condition of his dedication to the Lord. While he slept, Delilah called a barber. Samson awoke at her cry, expecting to shake himself loose once again, but it was too late. So here's lesson number 4. How many individuals, after lying one too many times, or making one too many hurtful comments, or trampling the feelings of another one time too often, or ignoring what is right one time too often, how many say to themselves, "I'll shake myself free," but it is then too late? Taken to Gaza, Samson ended up captive and blind. But Scripture goes on to tell us that as he ground away at that mill, his hair began to grow back. This is kind of an allegory for the ongoing story of God's grace and Christ's redeeming love. Some of us may have been at a mill in Gaza, grinding away at the mill of loss, or frustration, or depression, unable to see how we were going to survive. Faith may leave us for a while at Gaza, but it will begin to grow back. The joy of our salvation may leave us at a time when we were grinding at the mills, but it can grow back. So Samson came and was brought to the temple of Dagon, and he prayed, O Lord, remember me, I pray thee, strengthen me, that I may be avenged upon the Philistines. Let me die with them. Samson prayed for vengeance and perished with his enemies. Even in death, with God's presence restored to him, Samson could not break the cycle of self-centeredness and violence and death. We Christians can be smarter than that. I might have called this sermon a tale of two prayers because let's jump to Jesus' time on the cross, which was certainly a Gaza time for him. Facing death, mocked by his enemies, Jesus also prayed, but his prayer was, Father, forgive them. He didn't sever a sense of God's redeeming love, as had Samson. He wasn't self-centered on personal vengeance, as Samson was. He prayed not for violence, but for grace. He died not for revenge, but for redemption. Jesus' death was not an end, but a beginning and a promise. We can be smarter than Samson. We can pray knowing that God is with us. We can pray that our lives be joined to God's plan for salvation. We can pray that God will see us through hard times, even the deaths of dreams, hopes, or lives. We can break cycles of violence in word and deed, allowing Christ to cure our warring madness. We can pray that Christ lives in us so that God truly can use us. We can pray that we don't get stuck in Gaza, but can come out on the other side with renewed hope and renewed energy. We can live so that God can work through us and use us. We can be smarter than Samson. Amen.